Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 4, recorded June 14th, 2011. Larry Johnston from 38 Special. Hello, world. And I do mean world. This is Bob Heil, K9EID. And we're coming to you from our Illinois station lab, just across the river from St. Louis. And the reason I say world is we are just getting so many wonderful emails, phone calls even, from people from Australia, Europe, England. It's really wonderful. I guess we have a lot of viewers, and I want to introduce my co-host, Gordon West. Gordon, how are you doing in Costa Mesa?
Oh, everything is fine here, and good to see everybody, and thanks so much for our listeners and viewers for their nice comments.
You know, it's been really great, really great. And I want to introduce our special guest tonight, who is K4EB. And, you know, we have all kinds of phonetics for our calls, but the best phonetic for Larry is known for excellent bass. And the reason we do that is because Larry is the bass player for 38 Special. Hi, Larry. It's really cool to see you on the Ham Nation show. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Bob, and also Gordon. Gordon's been a hero of mine forever, and of course you have been a longtime friend, and I'm very happy to be here. I'm an active and avid ham radio operator, and I just want to say hello to everybody out there in ham radio land. I might add to the appreciation of all of the guys for what they do in ham radio.
Well, you certainly will. We want to get to you in a little bit about what you do on the road with your amateur radio and how fascinating it is to be on the road and have connections with anywhere with your handy talkie or your computer. We'll get into that in just a little. Before we kick all of this off, I have to say hello to a very special Ham Nation viewer and podcast listener, and that's Ron, N2IXZ. And the reason for that, you remember last week when we took these crazy little pieces of wire and we made an antenna. Remember that? We soldered that together. Well, we're going to see slide number 11. Ron sent me a picture. He got so enthused last week, he went out and built his own quarter wave 2 meter antenna. We call it a spike. And if you can bring that up, Alex, we'll take a look at Ron's antenna that he made, put it on a 10-foot pole in the backyard. And it was kind of funny. He says, I made a transmission, and the first guy came back to me. He was so thrilled, and he learned about how to do that here on Ham Nation last week. So we were really happy to have Ron send a picture of his antenna and tell us about what he learned last week. And there's his antenna. He said, it's not as straight as yours. Well, you know, that really doesn't make a lot of difference. Gordo, is that cool or what?
Yeah, that looks like something we'd run in California. You bet.
Yes. But it worked. You see, that's all that counts. The RF got there and it worked. Now, last week, we also had a little problem of RF getting into your station, and that caused a disaster. It was in the wrong place, but you got that all corrected. And we might want to tell the audience that what you need is one of these little guys, which is an RF bead. You've probably seen them on the end of cables that you buy at a big lump of, looks like coal at the wires wrapped around. Well, that's a ferrite coil in there, and that ferrite stops the RF. And if you had them on all of your USB lines, you might not have cause the computer to stop. But there again, that's what they're for. And if they're not there and you start transmitting RF around, that's what happens. But we wanted to talk about that. And real quickly, then before we get to Larry, I want to know how you did in the VHF contest, Gordo. I know you were at Dallas at the Great Ham Fest, but you got home early enough Sunday to work a bunch of guys. We talked a little bit about that last week, if you remember. It was the VHF, very high frequency, 50 megahertz. And boy, did I get called down from somebody for saying megacycles. I'm an old cat. I'm sorry. It was megacycles when I started, and to me, it kind of still is.
Well, but, it was a great contest. 6 meters opened up here in Southern California, double hop, which means we made it all the way through Texas and all the way to the East Coast. And we even had some sporadic on 2 meters for about 30 seconds. So it was good conditions, and I know the rest of the country was just working up a storm.
Wow, I worked a bunch of people. It was great. What we're talking about, double hop, is the signals, you know, you think you put up an antenna and you think it's going to go straight out across the plains. No, it doesn't. It goes straight up just about, or at least a lot further up than it does horizontally. And it hits the ionosphere. And what happened in the middle of this contest, it from California, it was an incredible phenomenon where the signal came up, hit the ionosphere, came back down, maybe like Kansas, it went back up, and they got a double hop into New York or wherever on the East Coast. That was amazing, just simply amazing. Larry, did you get into any of the VHF stuff last week?
No, actually, I'm always on the road during a weekend, so I can't run any contests. I do mess around with 6 meters a little bit here at home and work a few little bit. I've only got like a 5-element beam up about 35 feet. So no big gun station here on 6 meters.
Let me tell you, that's all you need on 6 meters. That's what I have up here is 5-element beam, and it's all you need. When the band opens, it's really great. Well, I just wanted to cover a couple of those things that we had gotten from the from the audience. There's so many more, but I just was so fascinated that Ron is so enthused. Now he's going to go get his the rest of his license, and he's using Godot's books to do that. So you see, it's just all fun and games, I'll tell you. Larry, I wanted to talk a little bit about your music. We really need to talk about some of the background that you started with and where you've gone with this wonderful band, 38 Special. And you might want to talk a bit about that.
Well, actually, I got my start with the famous band Lynyrd Skynyrd, the original version. I was with them from 67 to 71. I first got my ham radio license in 62, a novice and then a conditional. But then when I started getting into music and cars and the ladies, I let my license expire until 1990. But I was the original bass player for Lynyrd Skynyrd, and they still owe me money. That's all right. I'm not worried about it. As long as I got enough money to buy radios and computers, I'm fine. But anyway, I'm glad I got back into the hobby. You know, a newspaper article in 1990 sparked me back into it. And I realized I had money to buy a decent radio. So the rest is history.
Oh, that's great. There's Alex has got some good pictures. He's going to start rolling here. And so the guys watching the video can see a couple of pictures of you and the band and so on. And as you're playing that great bass, he plays a really roaring bass line. It's really, really good. Larry, did you have any kind of an Elmer or somebody that helped you when you got your license? How did you do that?
Well, I actually started shortwave listening, and then, you know, with the help of Allied Radio, I bought a couple of kits, and, I put them things together. It was the worst mess of cold solder joints and unclipped leads and just all the worst. I think my first contact was with the FCC monitoring station about 26 megahertz or something. They got one of my parasitic oscillations on there, you know. But that's why I said, now I'm glad I can afford good equipment.
Oh, gosh. You guys are on the road so much. You're 38 special. Do you ever take a break? I look at your tour schedule, and it's, my gracious, you guys are just, you're out there all the time. And I don't know how you do it, but you do a lot of it on the bus, too. You're not flying the private jets. You guys are tried and true rock and rollers in that bus we just saw, right?
Yeah, well, lately it's been more, since we do just weekends, it's been more at the mercy of the airlines, and Lord knows how taxing that can be. You know, I left my hotel at 4:30 yesterday morning and didn't get home till about 8 o'clock at night, and of course, you know, I would have loved to turn the radio on, but I didn't, you know, that's the way it is, but I turned it on today.
You turned it on today. Tell us about, you have a new acquisition in the K4EB ham shack. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's ICOM 9100, which I got when and I've hooked it up through the remote RSBA1 software, and I haven't had a chance to transmit with it, but it's communicating with the radio really good, and you know. That'll be the ticket with me, along with the D-Star that I use, because I spend a lot of time in hotel rooms, and I hate watching television, so I'd much rather have some sort of ham radio.
Yeah, you were telling me about your D-Star stuff, and that it's fascinating what that can give you when you're in a room by yourself after the band plays and everybody goes away. What can you do? Well, you can talk to the world with that. Why don't we get into that and tell the Ham Nation audience just exactly what you're doing with your computer and how you get it on and all of that. So go ahead and tell us some of that, if you would, please.
Okay, well, D-Star has been around for a few years, and actually my friend, the manager of Ham Radio Outlet, KJ4VO in Atlanta, I'm sure a lot of gentlemen listening know him, he says, Larry, man, I got the ticket for you, and it's a little thing called a DV dongle. I'm gonna put it up here. I hope you can see it. It's about the size of a pack of gum. Okay, there it is. And you know, it's almost like Skype, you know, except for you're hooked up through a ham radio network, and you can even go to websites. I sent you a list of the websites where you can see who's on. And as you make friends and all that, you can find out which repeaters and which reflectors they're on. And, you know, there's thousands of hams on D-Star. And, you know, it's not just the little DV dongle, which is a tool you can use on the road, but it's also you can get in on RF, which, you know, most major areas have repeaters, which can link to other repeaters. It's kind of like Echo Link, only I think it's way better because it's more digital and the quality. The quality is just unbelievable as far as the communications goes, you know, real crisp and clear. And it's a lot of fun. I've got a lot of friends out there. I can talk to my friends at home. And, you know, it's worth checking into, D-Star. And it's relatively new. So and it's something that somebody with a technician license can talk all over the world going in through VHF. And that's one of the pluses of it. You know, so many people are just relegated to 2 meters and 6 meters, and they don't get to realize the worldwide communication. So
exactly.
I highly recommend it.
Well, for our listeners that aren't hams, there are various classes of license. And if you go do the technician license, you can operate everything above the top end of 10. Tell them about where that lies, Gordo, how some of the different license affects where we can operate and all that.
The technician class license is a powerful license, and as was said, they have 10 meters from 28.3 to 28.5, as well as 6 meters, all of 6, and 2 meters, and 222, and 440, and all the way up. But most exciting is the D-Star system with a brand new technician class operator can literally work the world. In fact, at Dallas, Connie Ballantyne, KB0ZSG, one of our listeners, said that she's going to Europe and she already knows who she's going to see over there because every day she talks to Europe via D-Star. So she has the vacation already built in with plenty of friends, and she's working the world with just the beginner technician class license.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great thing for brand new hams. It's only a 35-question test, multiple choice, and about a month study, and they can earn that first amateur radio technician class license, as Larry was saying, and work the world.
That's really great. Do you play with the dongle that he had? Do you do any of that?
I have a D-Star unit myself, and I do a lot more listening than talking, and I'm just amazed as to who comes up on the air, including Ham Radio Outlet Atlanta.
You hang out there a lot, don't you, Larry, in Atlanta with Mark and the guys?
Well, I don't get in there too often, but I guarantee you I've contributed to their economy.
Is that why your name is on the front door or something like that?
The K4EB Memorial Bank account.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, we need to really get further into that, that whole digital side of what we're doing. That when I say we're talking about the industry. It's brought so many new hams in because the computer is your radio. It really is. You can tell your dongle where you want to go and what you want to do. And if you remember last week, we talked about repeaters. That happens in the VHF frequencies and the UHF ultra-high frequencies. And it's a situation that they'll put up a big transmitter on a tall tower, a water tower, a bank building in a town, and that thing will run a couple of hundred watts. And then when your little handy talkie or your computer or however you want to get there through the internet to the transmitter, it then sends that signal out and a lot further than you could get just with your handy talkie. And those repeaters is what we're talking about that allows us to go in and make it kind of a gateway, and that it just works so well. Gordo, you got a couple of handy talkies. In fact, you've got a new one from China. That's an amazing little handy talkie. I don't know how to pronounce it though. Everybody pronounces it different. So let's see that handy dandy you got. Yeah.
They pronounce it, I believe, Wushan, and there's another one called TYT. And for those listeners, I'm holding a dual band, that means 2 meters and 440, handheld, that normally sells for a couple $100s, as Larry will tell you, even up to $300, $400, and $500 for the advanced ICOM America gear. And these small Made in China radios were seen selling in Dallas as well as the Dayton Hamvention for $99.95 and another $15 or $20. So the Chinese handhelds are certainly worth consideration, but only if you have a pal that knows how to hook them into the laptops and get them programmed for the local repeaters.
Well, the handy talkies have really taken off. There's a G4 picture we got here of you. I think it was taken in one of the stores, but there's just a whole field of these things today. And that's just amazing. And that's just a few of them, isn't it, Gordo?
Yeah, so this is part of Larry's collection. I'm just kidding you, Larry, but we would all wish that we could have this many. But what's so interesting is the small handhelds, each manufacturer, Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, Alinco, and a few others, all of these handhelds are usually dual band. This is a digital one from Kenwood Corporation. Unlike D-Star, this one concentrates on automatic position reporting system, which means here is a handheld that has a built-in GPS, and Don, W6GPS, who helped get with Susie this computer back on the air after I blew it up last week by ridiculously transmitting. What was I thinking? Susie and Don got me back up. But Don works closely with the manufacturer, both here as well as the ABMAP manufacturer in Europe. And now you can squawk your position. You can see where everybody else is. Plus, it puts you onto the internet. So, oh my gosh, everybody can see where you are today.
Larry, that's a good and that's a bad thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't want nobody to know where I'm at. But anyway, speaking of handhelds, I got a funny story. I hope it won't take too long.
No,
but one day we were in the same hotel with a famous Lynyrd Skynyrd band, right next door to me. I was asleep in the afternoon, and I heard some bass coming from that room. And I surmised that it was the bass player of Lynyrd Skynyrd now, Robert Kearns, and excellent player, great guy. And he was over there playing, practicing in his room. So I broke out one of my little 7-watt ICOM handhelds, and I figured I'd take a shot in the dark. I went, "This is Mars calling Robert Kearns." And about 30 seconds later, I heard a door slam next to more of me. He was running out in his shorts, you know. He said, "Man, Mars just called me on my amplifier."
You son of a gun.
And I ran out there with my hand held. I said, "No, it was me."
It was me, not quite Mars. That's great. But we have a lot of fun doing all this. I'll tell you, ham radio is just full of things you can do like that. The wonderful thing about it is that it doesn't cost a lot of money. The licenses are fairly easy to get now. And the further you get into it, the more you want to be down on the lower frequencies where you can talk all around the world with a 120-foot piece of wire. You can talk anywhere practically. And it's so much fun to be able to put this stuff together. And all of us have started the same way. We started out as a novice, usually on CW, on code. And then we built ourselves up to the technician license and just kept going. What got you over the top? You said you listened to a shortwave, Larry, but what really piqued your interest? Did you know another ham, or were there people that helps you as you got started back in 1962?
Well, actually, when I first got my license, I didn't know anybody, but I was only about 12 years old, and I'd ride around on a bicycle. And if I seen an antenna, a beam or something up in the air, I'd just walk up there and knock on the door, you know. And I got to know some people, you know, got to be friends with some of them. Actually drank my first beer with one, WA4SGF, Ed Edwards, here in Jacksonville. He's now a Silent Key. But we used to go to NOFAR's meetings, North Florida Amateur Radio Society, and he'd stop at Jack's Liquors. And I was about 14 years old, and I drank one beer, and man, that was a buzz. One beer at 14 years old.
Oh my! Well, Gordo, that story sounds very, very familiar, because I think it was Joe Walsh that did the same thing. He saw this piece of coax running up the side of a building, and every Saturday morning he'd see this thing on top of the apartment building turn. So he just followed that piece of coax or wire and went into a window and knocked on the door. And that started Joe's ham radio career. And Larry, that was in 1962 also. So that must have been the year for musicians to become hams, evidently. That's a cool story. And what city was that you did that?
That was actually in Jacksonville, Florida, where I am now. I have three different QTHs. But right now I'm in Jacksonville, and I also have a house on a lake and a camper on the river. Of course, there's ham shacks in every one of them. I've only got three ham shacks. I don't think I'll ever beat Joe Walsh. How many does he have, like seven?
Oh, I don't think so. No, basically, he's got really one that's just amazing with all the gear. And we need to qualify a couple of things. I know the chat room's talked about it, and I've gotten some from the emails this week about some of the nomenclature we use, and we're going to start something, trying to get a thing up on our website somewhere where we can kind of put it in a corner and be our own little ham nation thing and help you with some of these. But you mentioned QTH, and what that means is it's really it's shorthand for the Morse code. Instead of saying where you live or where are you, you just have to send three letters, QTH. And when you do that in code, you've saved the question of where are you or where do you live. You only have to send three letters. So we have a lot of shortwave too, Gordo. But when he was mentioning QTH, that means where are you? And there's a lot of that. We're going to start getting some of that together for you, so you'll be able to refer back to it. There's a lot of places that you can find the meaning of all that. And Gordo, you've got it in just about every one of the books, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. And we hope that the Q code, what that is called, will stay around, like QSL, and that is what you showed last week, show off those great contact cards that you made with other hams across the country. So ham radio does have some jargon. 73 means best regards. Ladies, for those listening and watching, 88 means hugs and kisses. Bob?
Yeah. That's true. And that all comes from the Morse code. And a lot of guys carry it over into the jargon that we use, but that's where it comes from when you hear some of these letters. One other thing that somebody asked me, said, how do you know where somebody lives if you want to find out? Well, there's a wonderful website that's called QRZ. Tell them a little bit about that one, Gordo.
Sure. Just write on the computer, QRZ.com, and wait till you see what comes up. First of all, if you know a ham's call sign, you can go ahead and put their call sign, type it in, and it'll give their name and address and even give you a little Google map. And QRZ is full of news, and it is a great place to begin searching out for your friends who might be already licensed. And a good all organization point to go to on your computer is, of course, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL.org. And there you'll see anything and everything about ham radio through the American Radio Relay League, our nonprofit organization that keeps hams hamming.
The QRZ site also has a lot of swap shops, as I call them, and you can buy gear, and they have a lot of forums of reviews on different things. You can spend a lot of time on QRZ.com, and I like to read through some of the bios of different people that you work and put their call in, and a lot of times they'll have their picture in there. And so QRZ is .com is a place to get that. So that's super. The other one, what is the other one? Is it the other one is eHam Gordo? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. If you're looking for a ham radio goodie, eHam has it. And eHam also has reviews. And some great reviews come from a product made by Yaesu, Y-A-E-S-U, that also does APRS. And it's got the little GPS on the outside of the equipment. So there's actually two manufacturers of handhelds that do APRS. And look what I got on eHam. This is great. Larry, you'll like this. This is an antenna that can be doubled up so you don't get anybody in the back of the head as you're walking around. But how much fun. And this is just a little inexpensive handheld. This one's made by Yaesu that you can curl up the antenna and be able to operate. And Susie in 6GLF is giving me, there she is, she's giving me a couple more antennas to look at as well. And there's some great ones out there, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can use for your handy talkies and of course, the other thing when you're working in the car, you could hook it to your little quarter wave spike antenna that you could put on top of your roof and get the antenna outside. That helps a lot. And even if you would put that on top of your tower or up on, as we saw a while ago, Ron did that. That was really super when you put it outside and hook up your handy talkie to that. Boy, that really extends the whole coverage of a little couple of watt handy talkie. What do you do on the road with that? Are you using any handy talkies at all, Larry? Do you carry anything with you?
I carry all three of the ICOM D-Star radios, the 92 AD, the 80, and also the 91. And I actually... sometimes I'll be sitting out by the pool, and I can access D-Star with this little thing called a DVAP. It's DVAP, DV Access Point. It's actually, I think, a 250-milliwatt repeater that you can set the frequency through your computer, and you can access any reflector or any repeater as long as you have it programmed into your handheld. So, I like to sit out by the pool and especially on a day off and just sit there and monitor. One of the my favorite reflectors is 30 Charlie, which includes most of the reflector 030 port C. And it's a lot of ham radio operators in the Atlanta area. And then there's another one, reflector 001, port C, that has the ham radio operators from all over the world. And once you log on to this with your handheld, the DVAP has a little short little stubby antenna on it. There it is right there. And you can unscrew it. It has a SMA connector, and you can put a bigger antenna on it. And So it typically has a range of about a half a mile. If you want to go out for a walk or something, you can carry your handheld with you and still be hooked up to the D-Star network. So that's another little product. And I do not own any DVAP or dongle. I'm just talking about it because I like it. And they're available through Ham Radio Outlet.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yeah. Gordo, you using your APRS, you have an adapter for your handy talkie. How do you couple that into your handy talkie?
Just a single cable takes the output of the Kenwood to the ABMAP G6 handheld. And again, thanks to Don W6GPS, he's got the connection absolutely solid between both manufacturers. So you just plug in the ABMAP, and we'll show that in a couple of weeks right here on the screen, or maybe Susie will get it out of the bag and we'll show it off tonight. And that way, your little Kenwood can not only be one that sends your position throughout the world, and you look it up at aprs.fi, aprs.fi, as in Foxtrot India, and you can see hams by their call sign literally all over the world. And the nice thing about any of these small little ham radio handhelds, as Larry was saying, is when you're on the air, whether you're going through the exotic and wonderful D-Star system, or you're just operating through a repeater, or maybe just talking simplex, everybody else is listening. So it's like a giant party line. And if you get lost and can't figure out whether to turn left or right, you can figure it out on the handheld, because folks will come back to you and will ask you, where are you now? And then they'll get you squared away. And here's Susie. She's got the AbMap mapping device. And we'll bring it on over here. And we'll show it to you. It's that one right down there, Suze, with all the cables on it. And this is it. Isn't that amazing? That's the mapping device. And this is the best part. And Larry and Bob, you'll agree, this is the best part of ham radio. It's 1,000 million different wires that never seem to get sorted out. Thanks, Suze. Bob?
Gordon's got a bunch of wires hooked to what it looks like a little... a monitor, what, a little 5 or 6, 7 inch screen. And
I'm not the only one that has wires everywhere.
You have to have wires. I'm sorry. It just can't happen. They call it wireless, but I got news for them. Especially, you can imagine all the stuff behind that rack over there, and that's just the old stuff. I got all the other new stuff here where you can't, or where the camera's not pointed, but it's just amazing. But you have to have wires, but that's the fun of it. And you learn, you soon learn where they all go and what they all do, and you're changing things all the time to make it better. That's always the best part. Larry, do you get into any kind of SDR, of software-defined radios? Have you played with any of that?
Well, actually, you know, a lot of the newer radios are like that. You know, the Elecraft K3, and, you know, I have N4PY control software for most of my radios, so it can interface to my logging programs. But man, I gotta say something about them wires. That's how profanity was invented. You start messing with it with them things, and there's a whole lot of cussing get started. Anyway, I guess that, you know, I've had some of the Tintec radios, which are software defined, and I've never had a Flex radio. I'll have to say that, but you know, most modern radios nowadays can be controlled by software, and especially if you're into the remote thing, which I like to do. You know, software defined is definitely the ticket.
Well, that the remote thing is an amazing thing, and it works so well. It was hard to do at first, but now, as you say, most every radio you can do that with, and the little software defined things work great. TS-480, just about all of them will do that. The 480's got the program built right in it. The TS-480 is a Kenwood radio, and all you do is plug it into your computer and. Then when you talk to your computer from anywhere in the world, you're actually controlling that radio. But the software defined even takes it a step further. We're going to have the guys on from Flex here, and they're getting all their things together so we can have a really nice program on software defined equipment. They build it down in Austin, Texas, and we're very excited about having them come on and tell you about that, because you got this little black box and you plug it into your computer, and the next thing you know, you have a transmitter and a receiver. You can go anywhere. You tell it what frequencies you want. You want, whether it's going to be AM, FM, sideband, CW, RTTY, and all of that kind of stuff. And what is RTTY, Gordo? What's that crazy thing I just came up with? RTTY.
Oh, yeah. That is a radio teleprinter, and RTTY, one of the many digital modes that behind me here in the shack, will play probably a couple weeks from now and look at the digital side of ham radio. And again, I almost forgot to mention on this little charting device, the Kenwood will actually output, and so will the new Yaesu, positions of local hams. So, Larry, you can see all of the hams around you that are squawking APRS just by attaching this little screen to your Kenwood or your Yaesu radio. This one's specifically for the Kenwood D72 or the Mobile. And it's fun to see all the other hams around you, and they're looking at you, and you're looking at them on a map.
That's pretty wild, isn't it? How does it know that? How does it know that? Oh my! Well, that the software defined thing is really really coming on. It's very strong. You can do just about everything with it. Now they have transverters. You can take it up into the VHF frequencies, and it works extremely well everywhere it goes. The audio bandpass can be, it can be anything from daylight to dark. It doesn't make any difference because you are going to tell it what you want it to do frequency-wise, how you want it to sound. And you become the engineer. You design your own radio, and that little black box follows what the computer does, and away you go. It's really cool. But the guys from Flex, F-L-E-X, from Austin, Texas, will be on with us, and we'll really get into that because it's a fabulous thing, and it's not up and coming anymore. It's here, and they've got, I think, now three or four models of that. You just came from HamCom, the big convention in Dallas, Gordo. I would imagine that Flex had a strong representation there at that show, didn't they?
They certainly did, Bob. In fact, Flex had one of the largest wide big screens I've ever seen displaying a panoramic view of the ham radio bands. And you would like look this way, and then you would look like this way. And Larry, that was covering like 400 kilohertz up and down the band. So, boy, if we only had this back when Larry and I were, and you too, Bob, were in our shortwave listeners day. But quite amazing that you can now take a very small box with terrific digital filtering and be able to display it on a widescreen TV.
Wow, that was it must have been something. Sorry I couldn't be there. But I know that they can do just about anything you want to do with that radio. We're very sad in that we lost one of their great engineers and beta testers. In fact, he was buried yesterday in Arlington National Cemetery. He was a great friend of all amateur radio, very famous W5GI. John was instrumental in helping the Flex company really get somewhere because they needed people to help beta test it. And he lived in Austin. And he was a great guy. And he had every, I don't know how many hundreds of radios, but over the years, he's had just about every radio there is. He'll keep them for a couple of weeks and they're gone. It was always fun to talk to John because about the second question after how are you would be, what kind of radio do you have today? he just wanted to try everything, and that's what he did through his whole life. And then he moved to Austin, and that was about the time Flex started cranking
that
up.
Sounds like me.
Did you know John, Larry? Did you meet John?
No, I've heard the call sign, but from what you said about him, it kind of sounds like me. Every time a new radio comes out, I want to get one.
There you are.
I look at it like you don't buy radios, you just rent them. You know, if you don't like them, you turn around and sell them at a good cost to your buddies.
That's it.
That's true. Gordo, did you know John, John Basalato?
I've met him a couple of times, and what a great man and a huge contribution to ham radio.
Yes, he was on my beta team since the Gold Line back in 1999, and just about every one of the products that I would come up with, I'd send them to him, and he'd come back to me and tell me good, bad, or whatever, and would have suggestions. And so the entire amateur radio community lost a great friend. He was a colonel in the Air Force, and thus he was entered into Arlington just yesterday. And Pat and his wife, and his son Chris and their whole family, we really are sad about John. He was a great guy. Well, I want to also ask Larry about what that is on the back wall that we're seeing, Larry. How come we don't have some of the what are those on the back wall, man? They're beautiful, shining disc of what songs or albums or whatever.
Well, actually, they're gold and platinum records. If you sell 500,000 records, which is hard to do nowadays. These are from the 80s when our band was really, really big. And like I said, the 500,000 is gold and 1,000,000 is platinum.
Wow.
I've got more of them on the wall down at my lake house because the house is bigger. But I've actually had a lot stolen from me because somebody broke in my house, even though all they are is plastic with coating on them. I guess the people that stole them thought that maybe they might be solid gold or platinum. But anyway, 38 Specialists sold probably 20 million records in our career.
My goodness, and I bet you this is one of them.
Yeah, that's one of the biggies.
Oh, yeah. See it all around you. And I bet you everybody that's watching or listening knows of that song, has heard that song, and maybe have bought the record. So we have to really thank you and the group for bringing us such great music throughout the years. That's really super duper. And to know
just happen to be in the right place at the right time, I guess. You know, the music lives on. You know, and we still play. We do 100 shows a year, and 38 Special is alive and well. We're going to drive it till the wheels fall off. That's our story, and we're sticking with it.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know you're doing a lot of festivals and county fairs and things like that. And if some of the guys want, if they get to some of these places where you're playing, I'm sure if they try to ask for you, you'd want to meet some of them. I know you'll talk to them on the air, but if they get up around the stage after the show, well, you probably hang around a little bit and would love to talk to some of the hams, I'm sure.
Yeah, we try to, but sometimes our schedule makes us have to leave. But our schedule is at 38special.com, 38special.com, and I'd love to meet some fellow ham radio operators. So, but like I said, sometimes our schedule, they whisk us out of there. You know how it is.
I sure do. Yeah, it's a tough thing out there on the road. But I know that you enjoy it, and the band is just so good. I think they really have, in the last few years that I've been listening to some of the things they're doing live, is it, you just keep getting better, and that's really great. I love it to hear the guys crank up new stuff, and they're not getting tired, they're getting more excited. And I think a lot of that has to do with the technology, don't you? The sound systems have gotten better, your amplifiers got better. Sometimes you're still using the same old guitar. What are you playing for amplifiers and bass guitar today?
Well, I'll have to say the microphones have got better, and we all know who's responsible for that. But, we all use in-ear monitors, which saves our hearing. And, you know, the days of the big old stacks of amplifiers on the stage are gone. And it actually makes for a better experience. Everybody in the band can hear each other better, which in turn makes us play better, You know, it used to be, you know, we get up there on stage and, 120 decibels of stacks of Marshall amplifiers right behind you. You know, it was just total chaos. So that's probably one reason why the band is better. Plus, I mean, we've progressed and, you know, we take more pride in what we're doing, you know, and it's just we got a good ball club and we moved the ball real well.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Gordo, we got to get one of these programs together for the satellite thing, too. I know that you and a couple of your friends out there, Clint especially, you guys are doing a lot of satellite work. We had a picture of you last week after you left us there for a short time. Of you guys, you were out in the middle of a fairground. It probably was the Orange County Fair with an antenna, and you were talking to the space. I don't know if it was a shuttle or what were you doing, and how did you do that? Because you just had a little handy talkie, walkie talkie, handy talkie, same thing. What were you doing?
Well, here is the radio. This one's from Alinco, and we had a couple of others as well from Kenwood and ICOM and Yaesu. So working the satellites is really fun in that Clint Bradford, Mr. Satellite, was able to give us quite a nice demonstration at a county fair at one of our low Earth orbit satellites. And again, with just the technician class license, the entry level, almost pushover exam license, no code test, and a small dual band handheld like this one, Clint was able to, on a small handheld antenna, work stations almost 1,000 miles away. So it's just one more area of ham radio fascination where you take along your little handheld radio and FM, frequency modulation, able to talk through a satellite that keys you up to other stations up to 500 to 700 miles away on just a handheld.
That's great. You don't need a lot of power. That's wonderful. And we have we're lining up another program for everybody. That's why you don't want to miss this every week. I mean, we've got so much stuff coming on. We're going to bring the kids in that I've got some great video. And then great audio of these children here on Earth in a school, and they had questions that they asked Sandy Mangus, who is an astronaut, and Sandy would answer those questions for those kids, and it was just unbelievable to be able to do that. And they set up their antennas out in the parking lot, and they talk to this to the astronauts, and almost every one of the space shots. Am I right on this, Gordo? Nowadays, every one of those space shots has a ham aboard, and just about every astronaut's a ham. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We've licensed a whole bunch of them, and luckily they've gone through the Gordo books and passed their tests with flying colors. But you know, Bob, we heard some stories from many of our listeners and viewers, and Bob and I really appreciate the input we get in the chat rooms. And this little radio right here is called a Family Radio Service Transceiver, little FRS. This one was owned by Miss Moo, and this little radio was able to send out and signal for help in Joplin because they had a tie-in between the small, no-license family radio service handhelds and ham radio operators that monitor the FRS bands in an emergency. And out here in Southern California, we have that same connection, and that is a marriage of ham radio operators licensed for those in emergency groups like CERT groups like Miss Moo was, and able to use these small, no-license FRS radios in an emergency.
That's a really great service, isn't it? It's really helped all of the emergency guys. That's wonderful. And I applaud all of the ladies and the men that's doing that, because without it, there's going to be more lives lost, and there's a lot of lives saved, and we've seen a ton of it this year all over the country. So again, it's the ham radio operators that put their time and all of their funds together to buy the radios and stuff like that. It's really great. Have you done any kind of emergency stuff, Larry? Do you get involved in that at all?
Oh, well, I actually used to be a member of Skywarn. I have a lot of friends, you know, especially people in the D-Star network, that a lot of them are now are really involved in the fires in Florida. We are having a lot of fires, smokes everywhere. It's been such a drought here in Florida, but we really have a good ARES, the whole Northeast Florida area, all the way down to Orlando, with the help of, I got to give a shout out to WB6RTH, Mike Lee. He is the gentleman that has put all this together and is responsible for the whole Northeast Florida D-Star Network, which is totally dedicated to amateur radio emergency service.
My goodness, that's great. Yeah, ARES is doing a lot of things. That's wonderful. We have a great week coming up here. The next program is going to be dedicated to Field Day. And Field Day happens the last weekend of this month. Field Day is an amazing event. Starts on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But mainly it's a thing where we can go out in the field and set up our equipment. And I'm talking about everything. You don't plug into the electric. You have to take your generators. They'll have bicycles that pedal generators, and somebody's pedaling for 24 hours. They have solar panels, all kinds of things. You got to be able to put your antennas up. You're going to see guys using big slingshots to get antenna wires over trees. Next week, we're going to have quite a story about how Field Day gets put together, what we do, and so on. And Gary Pierce is going to be with us to tell about all of that. And Gordo's not going to be here because he's going to be with a whole course. Where are you going? You going to San Diego? Is that where that is, your school for Field Day?
It's called Field Day Academy. It's actually in Santa Ana. And guess what? Tom, Whiskey 6 Whiskey Charlie, is going to be Skyping us. And maybe if you want to go to us for about a minute, we'll give you a tour of what we hope is an emergency operations center, big Field Day site.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's quite a thing. A lot of hams live for this one weekend. I mean, they get ready for this all year to be able to go out and work Field Day. So we'll be talking about that all next week on the whole program. Gary will be here and be telling about the exciting things that go on with that. And we've got so many things planned, and we hope that you can stay in touch with us. Email, you have our email address on the bottom of the screen there, and if not, look it up on qrz.com, and you can find it there. Usually we all have our email addresses there too. And we've got the contest guys coming on, K3LR, I'll be doing that. And then we're going to have a very special program, and I don't know how many, I lost count this week of how many emails I got. Come to find out today that the guy that I wanted to come on here with me is a longtime friend, and he's a great friend of yours, Larry, W0FM, Terry Sheeler. And I found out that you guys are friends also today. Terry has worked, you ready for this, everybody? Check this out. Terry has worked 238 countries. Now, Gordo, how many countries are there total right now? If you had a 500-foot antenna and a kilowatt of power legal, of course, how many countries are there right now?
There's a little over 360, and I imagine our DXers that are part of our listeners and viewers can give me the exact number. But boy, if he worked 250, he's almost there.
Oh, no. You haven't heard the rest of the story. He worked 238 right now, confirmed, and he did it with antennas, wires in his attic. And so wow. For everybody that says, oh, I got to have this big tower, and or you live in an HOA thing where, oh, we can't have an antenna over here, don't need it. Terry is going to come on here and show you how he did it. So, Larry, I'm really, really excited to get Terry on here. Maybe we can find you on the road. You can join us for a few minutes. How about that one, Larry?
Yeah, well, you know, Tuesday nights are usually good for me, so just let me know. But, yeah, Terry's a good old friend. And, Gordo, I think right now it's about 330 that are active countries, something like that. I've worked just about all of them, but I'm way behind on my QSLs. So if I owe anybody a QSL out there, sorry, I need to hire a manager, and maybe I'll get caught up.
That's great. Well, we're going to have to wind things down. The hour just goes boom out the window, and we've got so many things to talk about and so many programs, but there's some excitement coming. One of the other things I got to tell you is we're going to do, I think on the 26th of July, we're going to do a program from the Queen Mary. Found out, you know, I showed you their QSL card. Well, Nate Brightman is the manager there. And yeah. You've probably worked them a couple of times, haven't you, Larry?
No, but I've stayed on the Queen Mary. the rooms are weird. The air conditioning is you open up a porthole.
They have a wonderful radio room there. It's on the air every day, so the visitors get to see ham radio in action. So we're going to have Nate come on and talk about it. And they're installing, catch this, Gordo. I got a word today. They're installing some internet connections for him in that room so he can do that program, because you know they don't have any internet there, but they're going to have it for Nate for the Ham Nation program. How about that one?
Oh, that is great. And Nate certainly deserves it. He's put a ton of time in there. Well, I'm just delighted to be back on the air after Susie got me squared away with this new camera. And Larry, what an honor being on the same show as you, and keep up the great music and good work on working 300 plus countries.
Well, thank you. Likewise there, Gordo. What you have done for ham radio is probably, you know, way above the call of duty. You know, ham radio wouldn't be what it is if you hadn't been there doing it.
Yeah, Thank you for the nice words.
We have to thank Gordon because he's helped so many. And we appreciate you being with us each week, Gordon. Well, thanks to everybody that's been here, the chat room. And sorry that we don't get more time to get on that with you, but maybe we'll hang around a little later and see what happens on there. But send us notes, good or bad. We'd like to hear what you need as far as programming. And we thank Leo and all of the TWiT family, and we'll make it all happen here on Ham Nation. We'll see you again next week. And as I told you, we're going to do the whole program on Field Day. So, Larry, I can't say enough. Thank you so much for being here. And maybe we'll get to catch you somewhere out there on the road. And keep those notes a-going. 38 special. Yes, you guys see me in your town, go check them out. So thanks a lot for the night, and we'll talk soon. Larry, good night to you. And Gordo, good night to you.
Good night, everybody. I enjoyed it. And good luck in whatever endeavor you happen to do in ham radio. It's all fun. World's greatest hobby.
73, everyone, from Gordo.
Good night, and so long. 73.